Hello everyone, I'm Danny Ohana and you are listening to Business Leader Stories, the podcast. The only podcast where you can listen to real stories told by real business leaders. So without any further ado, let's go. Hello everybody, and today I'm with Vladimir Malekci, the Chief Commercial Officer at EvoPlay. Did I did it correctly, Vladimir?
Yep. Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
So I can put you in the list of several European guys that did it correctly for them. Thank you.
I made it to the top five directly.
For sure.
First of all, thank you so much for being here with me today on the podcast. I'm very excited to have you here today. So first of all, thank you.
Thank you a lot for inviting me. It's a big honor for me to come, and I'm always happy to speak with you guys and discuss anything.
Yeah. So, you know, let's start with the very beginning. If you can tell a little bit about EvoPlay and about your part in it, so everybody will know.
Yeah, sure. So EvoPlay for three years is already one of the top 10 providers in the world. And this year we just opened for us like more tier one operators, tier one markets and so on. And also, we are the first one providing the world of when we're talking about the production of instant games. Mm. I think we have the biggest amount of instant games, and I think the most popular all of them. So this is what we are. I think everybody in the industry already familiar who we are, what we're doing, what the content we have, and so on. Like, because we are just making a very big diversification of portfolio just to help all the operators to grow their businesses. I think this is the main goal of each provider. So about what is my role, to be honest, I came to the company as a CBDO. So I received from their boards, I received very simple task. They told me, hey, Vladimir, we need to grow the sales process and just to set up it. So I told, okay, no problem. But I don't know, it was very, I would call it natively or organically, how my part of activity started growing. So I've started with a small people, but there were only three people in my department, and right now they're like around 40 or even more. Mm. And I just started collecting more departments. It was sales, marketing, then key account manager, then like recruitment, legal, financial, and so on, so on, so on. So right now, and my responsibility, the full business of the company, the full business part of the company. So I'm not connected to the product. We just, we have that split system, but marketing is providing the ideas for products and some requests to the product teams, and they created what we needed. So, but complexly, it's I'm controlling anything that is connected to the outworld. Mm. Whatever it can be, any communication, PR, any strategies. So like my goal is just to see how the business will grow from the business point of view.
Interesting. Very interesting. And I have to ask you, for how long you've been in this industry?
3 years.
3 years. And what actually attracted you to this field?
To be honest, I won't name the company, in Ukraine, we have a there are like around 500 people, a club of like, it's called CMO Club. So it is the little group of, again, little group of people who are top marketers in the industry, who are working in different industries, and who are working with mostly with IT focused products. And in the beginning, before COVID, it was created like in 2019, probably even 2018. Right now, this is a community of a lot of big friends. And at the beginning, before COVID and the war, we started, we have some meetings, you know, once a month, probably once in two months. And on all the meetings, there was a speaker from our community who was this, providing some information about his own product, just how they're working with marketing, just to improve your skills and just know something interesting. And on one of the meetings, there was a CMO of a big operator, and he provided a lot of interesting information, how they're working with the product, how the numbers go, like a lot of different information. And for me, I was very excited because at that time I was working in crypto niche, and it started to be interesting for me. So yep, I decided just to take a look at it, how it's working, and so on. And in I think several months after, I received a proposition from Everplay, because they were looking not for the guy from the industry mostly. They were looking for the guy who had experience in game dev. Mm-hmm. And they have a very special request for this. And I had a big experience in game dev as well. So they decided to invite me. And I think this was my one of the fastest hiring I ever met, because it took me several weeks to be hired.
Wow. Okay. So what you're saying is that originally you were interested and was doing probably some work in the crypto industry, and then you were exposed to that field of iGaming through this marketer on the mastermind group. I can call it like this, and then you were approached by Everplay because they were looking for somebody who's not only a marketer but also has some experience with game development.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
All right. And where did you get the skills or knowledge regarding game development?
I worked with several game dev companies before, and also when I was working in crypto niche, I was working in one of the company I worked with, which was a outsource company. And inside this company, I was one of who initiated to build the department connected to crypto games. Because for me, I think, game dev is a big industry, and the volumes of these industries are really huge. If I remember correctly, today was listening to a podcast about Riot Games, and the volume of the market for now is around 160 billions.
Wow.
So it's pretty huge market. And also the crypto games for me, looks very interesting idea. I'm always checking what's jumping inside the market. Also, the full idea about metaverses, which is highly popular right now, which is, I think, jumping in all the niches. Initially, it was created from the games, because if you just compare what is metaverse and just, I don't know, open world RPG, it probably will be very, very the same. At least very close to it, to each other. So in this outsource, it was good profitable company, and the owners were a friend of mine, and I came to them and said, "Hey guys, I think we can do something." And we started to produce several games on our own, with our own developers. So I was pretty involved in this, as I was I'm gaming myself. I'm playing a lot of games, and I think I started playing in my fall. When I just start understanding what's going on, and it's from my age of four, I'm playing the whole my life. Honestly, if you open my Steam account, you will see you will think that I'm not working at all, because there are a lot of hours. Even my CEO, when we are discussing some games, he's asking, I'm telling, "Hey, I was playing this game for about 100 hours." He told, "Where did you take this time? What's going on? What are you doing?" Lucky for this, I have time, because I have no children yet. That's why probably I have enough time, because he has two children. He needs to spend more time with them. So I had experience with game development, understanding how the processes was going. I was involved in several game development companies, also as a consultant. I consulted a lot of companies before in venture capital, and also in crypto niche and so on. When you're a consultant, you're working with different niches. It's given me, honestly, a very, very good experience. We were in discussion with one of my friends. He's a very good marketer himself. And one time we discussed the topic, if you're working in a huge company, should you take some consulting work with startups or not? And honestly, I'm thinking, if you're really good marketing and you can manage your time correctly, so if it is not harm to your main business, you should, even must, take some other projects, because it's helping you to see the world in another way. Because when you're working in a big company, you can't do a lot of steps because, you know, it's a big brand, it's a big company, and you need to be very, very accurate because mm-hmm. you can meet the same like Balenciaga or Dior just met after making yeah. their like very, let's call it very bad company marketing campaigns because I can't mm-hmm. name them another way. And when you're working with startups, it's much easier because you can test your hypothesis and it's not harmful for business. But if the hypothesis will work, so if the hypothesis work, and the business will receive a lot of profit. If not, they won't lose anything because they are not risking anything. Mm. And you as a marketer, you can just expand your mind with such ideas.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think it is so interesting what you said a few sentences ago about you and doing consultancy services to startups because it helps you get exposed to different ideas and stuff like that. Because, you know, the iGaming industry, in a way, it's a sphere of its own. And I think that the only way, the same way that you said it, that you are a gamer yourself, that you play so many games, I think this is the way to really bring innovation and new ideas and new perspective to the iGaming industry, because otherwise you're just, you know, running after your own tail. So I think it's really brilliant the fact that you are still a gamer and not just work in the industry. I think it's a completely different perspective. What do you personally feel it helps you with, this fact?
To be honest, you just copy my words. I'm always telling on this that if you just check the biggest part of our team, most part of them are not from the industry. We just continue hiring a lot of people not from the industry. And I'm not talking about only like biz dev part. I'm talking about even developers, even product owners. And yes, we have some people from the industry with a great experience. I think this is needed as well, because you need some base of like foundation on this. But from another point of view, you need some additional value, because without additional experience in other niches, Everplay won't receive top awards in marketing, because you will compete with the marketing inside the industry and you will do the same, but we are putting less money than some top companies, I mean like top three, because they have more money to put inside, and you will lose from the beginning, because you will compete only with budgets. From my point of view as a marketer, budget is the last thing where you should compete. Yep, it is important when we're talking about B2C marketing and acquisition, of course. But when we're talking about B2B marketing, the creative ideas behind it, the creative approach behind it, the understanding of the audience and using some additional things helping you much better than just budget. And we already prove it. And I think, to be honest, we already prove it twice. But for 3 years, and I'm sure that in 23, at the end of 23, the beginning of 24, we'll prove it again. So yeah, I really think that additional experience from other niches, it's very, very, very important. Because you're working with, when you're working in game dev is much faster than iGaming from the development of some marketing tools, because players like gamers, they have very big demands on a lot of things. For example, if you, they are very moody in this. Honestly, I'm a gamer myself. I have 200 games on my like platform, so even 300 games. But even when I'm choosing next one, it's very important. Everything should be ideal. Like game balance, some graphic elements, some style. And when you're playing a lot of hours, and all the gamers, like most part of the gamers, they are playing a lot of. So if you meet the gamer, you will ask him like at least how much time you're playing. He will tell you at least like, I don't know, 8 hours a week he's playing some games. So once you're playing so much time, you are becoming some kind of expert. You can just understand why this game is bad, why this game is good. And of course, because of this moody and demands, all the companies are developing faster, because they, if they want to earn money, they need to develop. They need to be very adaptive. In iGaming, it's a bit another way. In iGaming, you can do whatever you did, because people are very old school. People are using, like most part for now at least, they're using the same things and so on. And a lot of operators are doing the same things. They're not even changing for 10 years, nothing. They just probably add some, I don't know, additional payment system or additional games. But again, the games are very similar one to each other. This was for me the biggest concern when it comes to the industry. It's the same. What's going on? It's ugly. It's ugly and the same. And I told to my CEO that, hey, if we're going to do like the same things, I won't work with this, because for me it's very important to propose to partner what I like myself. I can tell, hey guys, I love this game, because like I can open it. I'm not very like gamble myself, but I really enjoy the game that we are producing, and I'm really happy that our product teams and CEO, like the full company, have the same approach. They just love the product, and once they love it, it's becoming much better. So yeah, answering your question, yes, it's very important to have some additional ideas, because if you're working in the same industry for 10 years and nothing more, you're not reading anything else, you're not watching anything else, you're not listening to anything else, you have no experience in working anything else, you will be like horse, very, very straight. Because, you know, you won't see what's going on around you. You will see what just very, very straightly.
Wow. You know, first of all, it seems like you are very much... first of all, it seems like you have lots of knowledge on this field because you're a gamer yourself, of course. And that intrigues me to ask you, when was the first time you really encountered a good game? Now, when I'm saying a good game, I don't mean like the first game you got addicted to or loved, but a good game objectively with all the criticism that you know now how to analyze and stuff.
Game in iGaming industry or in usual gaming?
Let's go for usual gaming and then we'll dive into the iGaming world as well.
I think for usual gaming... I was like around 9 years old. Of course, like when I was like 5 or 6, it was Taken for me.
Yeah.
Because it was very competitive. I think everybody was. Yeah, of course. everybody used to play Taken. Yeah. It was good game, but it was like very just competitive for friends, yeah, with among friends. In that time, among my father and my uncle. And they always won me until I found a secret combination of one play and just pushing it the whole time. But honestly, a really good game from the narrative, from the music, even right now, once I can analyze it more deeply, because that time I didn't analyze anything. I was like, it's all like 9 years old. I was just a young boy. But right now, I fully understand. I'm still playing this game in some times, and I know how much time I put in that game last in my childhood, let's call it childhood. And even after like 20 years, I just, okay, it's a cool game. I need to replay it to replay it again.
Yes.
It was Final Fantasy IX. Yes, it is a classic game. And also, once I read the story about this brand of Final Fantasy, how Square Enix built it, I don't know, I can't find anything better in this game. You are just, you know, each game, when they're created, I think everybody from like each game designer, if he's really loves his job, not doing because just for money, I think it's just only my subjective opinion, but they tried to involve players inside this world. When you're playing the game,
to get immersed in the world.
Yeah, you need to feel this everything around you. And from this point of view, for me, Final Fantasy World, even like when I was 9 years old, even I'm 30 right now, like the same experience. It's fully swallow you. You're inside. You're living the hero. You're his life. You're living the story behind it. You're really interested in the story. And this like narrative of music, characters, storyline, and so on, it's very cool. So yeah, I think it is one of the best games. Of course, like Kojima games, it's like in game dev industry, it's some idol one, because he's if you won't tell that on this, if you won't tell on any podcast speaking about games that Kojima is genius, you won't have access to this industry anymore. Yeah. So yeah, Kojima is genius.
Well, first of all, I like the game that you chose. I played it as well, and I have a best friend that is like super obsessed with it up to these days. He also thinks it's like the best game ever. And I want to ask you, do you think that that there are some elements in that game that you liked so much that can be implied to the iGaming field? And if so, how?
To be honest, I didn't analyze exactly from this game any elements. As I told you, like, I'm not involved in direct like game production. Yeah. I'm just asking for some things. Like, for example, we're seeing the statistic from betting audience is not covered enough, and I'm calling the CEO and tell, hey, we need something in this niche. Here is like analyze, create me the game. I see some narratives. Exactly from Final Fantasy, what I'm seeing, as I told you, the only thing we're trying to use, the same involvement of the players. Because right now, for me, slots are not providing you a lot of entertainment. Before ever playing, a lot of slots didn't provide you like kind of entertainment. Yep, you are receiving entertainment because there's a gamble inside of you, and you're just... like on risk moments, you can earn a lot of money and so on. This is like driving you. But from the exactly entertainment point of view, it's nothing. It was very, very simple. Right now, and I'm very happy that a lot of providers understood what we are doing, and they are trying to follow us as well. Because there are a lot of new games are coming. And some of them, we're seeing that some of them were inspired by our games, some of them were inspired. The graphic style become much better if you just compare 3 years ago and right now. But the thing that I will take from Final Fantasy exactly, this is, of course, the full narrative, this like swallowing of the player. And this is very important. This is very difficult to be created. From my point of view, just to understand, you know, like, to produce something just to swallow you or me, it's much easier. But when you're creating the product that is swallowing like, I don't know, hundreds of thousands of users, it's unreal because people are different. People are fully different. So this is the only thing that I will take. And this is include music, this style. You know, everything should be like one world. Mm-hmm. Everything should give some additional value to each other, so which is creating the ecosystem of it. And if you can create the ecosystem inside the game, from my point of view, it's really a cool experience.
You just said it so beautifully that, you know, to get the player immersed in the game with the music, with the narrative. I think that we are now in a point, specific in the iGaming industry, the companies who really want to have a competitive advantage by creating just a better experience for the player, that it's not only just about going into the game and do the betting or the casino or whatever, but really have an emotional experience where you feel that you are a part of something that is bigger than yourself and you're having really good entertainment, but in a way of really playing an actual game. And I think it kind of blurs the lines between iGaming and gaming. And I think that it's a beautiful thing because at the end of the day, we just want players to have fun time and really enjoy the game that they are playing, not just because it can make them money or because they like the vibe of it, you know, of the casino and stuff, but because they really enjoy the game. So I think that's really great. I'm really happy that you said also that you see some companies who are following your footsteps and creating games that are more immersive and more more real. I would say that's the best word to say it. You talked earlier about doing some marketing campaigns, and I want to ask you, when was the last time you seen a campaign specific in the iGaming industry that you liked, that you were like, whoa, this is innovative?
I won't talk about our campaigns. I think it will be like a big ego if yeah. we but just tell about our campaigns. So
Your campaigns are the best. We take this for granted.
Yeah, can't disagree with it. So I was analyzing, I was preparing for Sigma just to provide the full information about marketing and exactly marketing in the World Cup time. And from my point of view, the campaign that was created by William Hill, it was a really cool campaign. Because usually in a gaming, it's honestly, it's very difficult to create something for B2C, for B2C users. And how William Hill analyze everything and add additional value, they just use usual hashtag. You know, only hashtag campaign, very simple, nothing difficult, just a Twitter hashtag. But the narrative that they created behind it, you know, they were focused mostly on England, because like on like the full Great Britain. And I think everybody knows that like Great Britain is one of the best countries from the amount of football fans, because they have very difficult system of football fans inside, football fans clubs, blah, blah, blah. So it is a part of their DNA. I think like if you're born in Great Britain, you love football from the beginning. It's, you can't live without this. So they just call it. They just call it that you people were like, how it's called? People were connected to their teams, to their home teams. And the full marketing campaign was built on this. I don't know the budget that they spent on it, but if I remember correctly, they reached this hashtag around 60 million people. I don't remember the exact number. Yeah, but something around this, the full reach. And around 26 millions of unique users. Yes, I don't remember exact numbers, but something around this. So with one hashtag, just with a creative campaign, it's cool. It's very, you know, it's not, it's always cool when something is created with a huge budget, a lot of big campaigns, but it's, of course, it's cool and it looks cool and you're seeing the marketing campaigns. But for me, really when you are doing something very simple and this simple thing is providing you a lot of results, a lot of impact to the product, this is the genius side, because everybody can spend like, I don't know, 200 million easily just put and make the marketing campaign. But when you're not putting like hundreds of millions, you're receiving like tens of millions users, it's the genius marketing.
That's true. I liked a lot how you phrased it. It's like about the power of simplicity, I believe. When you create something simple, but yet powerful, that really creates an impact. Because I think marketers tend to really go on a tangent and try to create super complex things that, you know, are over the top with visuals and music and, you know, and spending millions and millions of dollars just to create something that is like festive, but does not necessarily will bring results. So it's about the power of simplicity.
I have an example of one of the casinos. You know, a lot of casino, like a lot of people, not even like in the gaming industry, and a lot of marketers, when they started being involved in some campaign, at the beginning they had an idea of this campaign. They said, okay, I will do something very, very huge. It will work. It will make us millions and so on. But this idea starts swallowing him or her too much.
Yeah.
And they forget about the first question they need to ask themselves. What for? What is the goal of your campaign? What do you want people to understand with this campaign? And they forget about this question. They just started making a huge campaign. They had an example of one casino when they put like really huge bill inside creating the video. They created the video. They hired a very cool company to create this video, a very brandful company to create this video. And like once they created it, they sent it to us and said, hey guys, what do you think? What do you think? I think like, cool video, but what should I understand from this video? What is the goal of this video? Or just what they told, and this is a cool video. and that's all. So, you know, this is just, yeah, we just need to create a huge video. We created it, and then they realized that they forgot to ask themselves what the idea behind this video, how it is connected to other steps of marketing. And you know, I have a very good example of I was invited to some brainstorm of to the company of my friend, and he asked me, he was creating a consulting company, mm-hmm. and he asked me to help him to find the questions, find the problems which startups are usually meet. I've come to them, you know, like in discussion, in a brainstorm, from 12 questions that we found that startups usually meet, like the most often, 7 of these were met by this startup that was created to help these companies to avoid these problems. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we are just sitting, I told Igor, sorry, but I think you need to fix your company first before coming to other clients, because we just already realized that you don't know the answers to these questions. Mm-hmm. And this is very, very often situation when you're coming to consult the company and they're just thinking they have a problem in marketing, when they have not only problem in marketing, they have a problem firstly in understanding their own company. Mm-hmm. And that's why all the marketing, all the things around, they can't be realized in the correct way because they don't know what their main goal, why they are creating it. And I think this is like a very important thing to be fixed.
Interesting. It makes me wonder, what do you think is the problem or the blind spot of the iGaming industry, for example?
Oh, very good question. Very, very good question. Blind spot. They really don't know what to tell correctly. I think the main tips, this industry always is about acquisition of new players. Always, everybody, retention, acquisition. And as I told you, this industry is very rich. Everybody knows that. Like the usual prey in this industry costs a lot of money. That's why, like, a lot of traffic companies, they have Lamborghinis and so on. They just spend the money, whatever they want to buy. And people forget that marketing is not only about spending money, not only about this. Also, sales processes in B2B is not about this. Yep, networking parties, some events, and so it's working. But it's not the only way just to do it. You don't need to spend, I don't know, $500,000 just to build a big stand and invite everybody, or just, I don't know, create a special party with some entertainment and so on, and just to receive new clients. No, in a lot of things, the creative approach, very simple approach, just at least understanding of what you're doing and why you're doing is more important than just spending money. And this is the blind spot, because a lot of people in the industry, like you told, they are working not for 1, not even for 5, not even for 10 years. They're working like 15 years here, 20 years. And a lot of them, you know, once you, this is how driving the car. If you're driving the car like 1 week, you're very worried about this because you're not understanding, like you have not enough experience in driving the car. And you're just, you know, worried and about in a bit like nervous stance. You are just more attentive and so on. But once you drive it for 1 year, you feel more comfortable. You don't think that something may go wrong because mm-hmm. you're already like experienced driver. After 5 years of driving, you are just driving like sitting in this chair. And as you know, wheeling with one hand because you are just experienced driver. So the same you're receiving in when you're working on the same position and you're not looking for something else. You're just working in straight way.
Getting into autopilot.
Yeah. And autopilot will do what you're good at this, of course, because you're just experienced guy. You will do it correctly. But you're losing some creative approach. And they think, and this is what we're trying to change. We're trying to put inside this industry some additional value, some additional ways, some additional product ideas, just to, how it's called, and sorry, forget this word. Just shake it. Just shake the industry. So hey guys, wake up, let's do better. Because I really trust this industry will be much, much better. And I'm really always reading like all the information that's coming, everything I can find about like gambling industry, about development of new market, development of some product, because I'm really interested in this, and I trust that like in 5 years this industry will become much better, much bigger. And I don't see even, you know, the top spot about this, like when there will be the spot once everything will be ended. Not from my point of view, not in 5 years, please.
Let me see if I got you correctly. So what you're saying essentially is that the company is basically, not the company, sorry, but the industry is being fueled by obviously getting new players and keep them engaged and retain the players, so on and so forth. But you say that the secret sauce or the most important thing is actually being creative and creating something new that is outside of the norm. Am I right?
Yep. Not only like in creative, I don't know, creative products, but also about the creative way of attracting people.
Yeah.
It's about everything, like being creative and create something new, some new approaches, some new ways. I know a lot of traffic guys that's created another way, another kind of metrics. A friend of mine has, he's an owner of big media agency. And once I heard his speech about like what they're doing and how they do it, I really was like big fan of it, because I understand that his usual media agency, just usual websites with some traffic, like nothing new. They are like, I don't know, millions of such websites. But the approach to his customers and the approach to the player that he is driving to the casinos is fully another. Mm-hmm. And this what I'm called, well, you need to be creative. You need to like always think from another angle.
You know, what you just said kind of reminded me of a quote that I'm going to simplify, because I don't really remember the exact quote, by one of the legacy managers at Disney, the Disney company. He said something along the lines of, we as a company, we don't have to do anything else than making money. But a lot of the times, in order to make money, you need to be innovative, you need to be creative, you need to make history. And that's everything that you said simply resonated with that quote so strongly, because yes, it's not just about making money, it's about making history, making innovative stuff, so we can open up to new opportunities, to new challenges, to new creations, and really do something that is meaningful beyond just retaining the player and engaging new players. Because there is, as you said, if you go with the autopilot, eventually you're going to touch a glass ceiling, if that's the right way to say it. But if you're being creative and innovative, you're creating opportunities that weren't there to begin with. So I couldn't agree more with what you said. And it seems like you are very keen on being creative and being innovative and all of it. And I want to ask you about the other side of the coin. What characteristics are you looking to improve in yourself to make what you're doing better personally?
I think the best way is receiving the new knowledge in everything. Like a manager, you need to know all the steps. So for example, right now I'm studying at MBA in Scotland, because once I go there, I wasn't sure that it will give me a lot of things, honestly, because you know, I'm a businessman, I've already like built like a lot of million businesses, like what they can teach me. After the first module, I fully understand that I was fully incorrect. Mm. They have a lot of things to teach, honestly. So many things that I think my head is not even ready to receive all this knowledge. And this was only the first model, you know, they had like 9 of them. And I was, what's going on? Like so much information. So yeah, I think I can't tell exactly the like characteristic and how to improve myself. So I think the main characteristic should be like
humility.
Yeah, first of all, and discipline. You need to discipline yourself. You need to discipline everything around you, because without it, you will just die, just emotionally die, not physically.
So,
you need to continue to be human, because this is like, if you're just becoming the robot that's making money, it's not helping, because you will lose your team, and without your team, you're nothing. Like all the managers, each manager, if I heard from manager that are in the big boss and so on, I'm not speaking to this guy. It's not my mindset, because I trust that each manager, success of his manager, he need to take, just say a big thank you to his team, because without team, without correct people, without correct approach of them, you won't receive anything. So yeah, you need to be human, but you need to be a very disciplined human, because either way, you will lose.
That's so powerful what you just said about being human and not turning yourself into a robot. And I think that, you know, many people outside of the industry and also in the industry and also CEOs and different managers, they are looking to their counterparts and they're like, whoa, this guy is like a robot. He's doing everything so well, so good, so skilled. But as you said, you know, being human is the most important thing, because that allows you to stay in touch with reality, with your employees, with your players, and really sense what is going on and not going on to this other pilot thing. And then I want to question you and ask you, how do you personally stay human and not go on to this robotic state? Is it meditation? Is it like reading books, spending time with your family? What is it that you do?
To be honest, very nice question. I can't tell the time doing like all the time meditation or all the time the sports and that. So I'm the person who need to change all the time something. So I need 3 months I can just meditate. After 3 months it become boring for me, and like I'm returning to Thai box, like to Muay Thai. After 3 months again, like I'm becoming bored of Muay Thai, because I don't know, something changed in my life, and then I'm going to books and so on. So I have several like hobbies, let's call it like this. This are keeping emotions in me. But the biggest for me is some extreme sports. So I'm always like trying to find something new for myself. So for example, right now I have my team present to me some jump from a glider from the mountain, but I have no time just to use it, but I'm for sure this year I will do it, because I already plan to do it. So yeah, extreme, you know, this kind of little border between life and some really risky moment.
Walking on edge.
It's returning to you the idea that you are not immortal, you are not a robot for sure, and if you need to think twice. And I don't know, for me it's helping such kind, and all of this stuff I'm always trying to be with friends. Right now it's a bit more difficult, because most part of my friend they're in Ukraine, and you know, due to the war in Ukraine, we can't last even like meet each other, so like video calls, so this is the maximum that we can have, because I'm not in Ukraine. And but anyway, yeah, friends, like for me friends it's like more close people. It's very like a kind of family that you created. Yeah. Because when you're born, it's your family, but you didn't create it. They just put you in this world. But the friends, this is a kind of family that you're choosing, because it's like very close people to you. So yeah, I'm keeping such sports. Of course, honestly, even some games, playing the games are returning you to, they're helping you to reload yourself, because you're just jumping inside this world. You forget about all this job, all this stuff that you go in there, because you need to be involved in the game. And after like 2 hours of playing, for example, it's okay. Like it's much, much better feeling. So it's from time to time.
I liked it a lot that you said that you are very versatile in the activities that you do that help you to stay center and human and in your body. Because, you know, there are so many people that they read somewhere that meditation is good. It's a good, or journaling or everything else can help them. And then they do it in a very almost religious way without asking themselves, is it helping me? There is something else that can help me. Like maybe it was good for me to meditate for like a year, but now I need the next thing to really stay in touch. So, you know, being in touch with yourself and what works for you at that particular moment, I think is key. And I think it was a beautiful point that you brought up. And you talked earlier about your employees. How many employees you have under you right now?
It's a total like around like 40 people plus minus.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Wow. Around 40. Like I'm not counting some outsource agency that we control. I'm just counting exactly like team.
Yeah. Do you think they will testify for you for being a good boss?
I hope they will. I hope they will. I'm trying to be leader, not the boss. This is the first theme.
Wow, being a leader and not being a boss. I like it. Yeah. Directly to Twitter. I liked it.
to be honestly, yeah, but I think boss is a past, some really like our past. It's not working like this. If you, for example, you can't, this is again, like this is only my view on this world. From my opinion, you can't lead in the sales team if you are not the best sale. Because if you want them to follow you, they need to be sure that if they come to you with the after the advice, they, hey, I have some, I don't know, there is a deal of 1 million and I'm trembled between, because, you know, it's a big deal for a lot of sales. And like, I don't know, I'm trembled. I don't know how to speak with a person who is making decision, with this decision maker. Like, help me with this. And if you can't help him, of course, you don't know, probably. That's all. He will lose the deal because he's coming for you to advise. And also, if sales manager won't know that you already closed such big deals, you're not afraid of them, he won't come to you because he won't trust that you're the right guy who can give him a good advice. And this is very important. That's why I think if you want to manage a really good team, you can't be a boss. You need to be a leader that's showing, you need to develop yourself. I know a lot of good managers, honestly good managers, but they have some profile. I mean, like some special domain with the knowledge. Mm-hmm. And after years, all the team was developing themselves and the boss wasn't, because he's a boss. He doesn't need to develop. That's the idea.
Person.
Yeah, something like this. I really agree that, so for example, a lot of marketers right now in their own domain, they're much stronger than I am. And this is very cool, because I know that, for example, I don't know, some B2C marketer, he will do B2C marketing better than I am, because I didn't do it with my hands for a lot of years. But overall experience, yeah, I have bigger than they are, and I can advise them something, and also like I can provide them some example. And also I'm trying.
Also.
Yeah, and also I'm trying to develop myself always. All the knowledge is I'm reading a lot of articles about new ways. I'm searching for some campaigns. I'm trying to do a lot of deals. I'm following myself at least even if sales managers for. Controlling the deal, I'm involved in this just to understand what's going on, how their communication is going, and so on. For me, it is important. And even if I don't know something, like I can search. There is an internet. You know, we're living in a really good time. If you can't find something, you have two options. You can try to find it, or at least like if you have a good network and as a manager, you must have a good network. Mm-hmm. And if you have good network, you can ask somebody, because always you can find a better expert than you in some domain, and you can just call him and ask like, hey, how is it going? Yeah. Like just tell me, like explain me how it's working. And that's why I really, for me, it's very important. I'm always like scaring of asking this question to people. And also in the face, they will tell me, of course, you're the good leader, probably. some of them like will joke on me, but yep, I think if somebody from, I don't know, between their close circle of friends will ask, like, do you like to work with your, with the company with Vladimir? I hope they ask. They answer yes.
Yes. And talking about your employees, what is the lesson you are hoping or trying to imprint on them while they're working with you? What do you want them to learn on a personal level?
Don't try to do everything on your own. Just delegate. Always delegate. Always, 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 always delegate. Whatever you do, if you're growing, if you want to grow, you need to understand you need to think wider. And once you start thinking wider, some of things you need to delegate. And not because you're lazy and you don't want to do the job. No, no. And it's not about this. Because this should open you some free time to make bigger things, because you already like more experience and you need to do more things. So the skill of delegating, it's not about skill like, hey, do my job. It's not working like this. The skill of delegating is firstly to let yourself to do it. If you hire somebody, let him do his job. And this is, it's always difficult. Trust me. It sounds like a very easy thing, but honestly, when you're giving some tasks to people, you always think that you can do better. Because, of course, like, you understand better yourself than anybody else. But the secret behind it, you need, if you hire somebody, let him do his job. Don't touch him. Don't, I don't know, just let, see the result. If you like result, it's okay. If not, just tell what is not. And the person probably, if he's clever or she, and they will just correct the result. If not, like it's not your person. That's a very simple thing. But the skill of delegation, delegating, is highly important if you want to grow. It doesn't matter like in which department are you going to grow. But anyway, it is a fair skill that needed.
What you just said about when you give somebody a job to do, just let them do it. It really reminded me of a conversation that I had with Adam, the CEO of Superbet. He said to me that...
awesome guy.
Yeah, he's a really awesome guy. We love him. And he said something that really struck a chord with me. He said something along the lines of the biggest threat to any kind of organization is when the employees start to feel meaningless, like the ideas that they have or the skills that they have that doesn't have any sort of impact on the actual work. And he told me that if he has an employee that comes up with an idea, and even if he thinks, like Adam himself, if he thinks that it's a bad idea, he will still let the person do it just so they see the impact of it and feel that they have meaning in the organization. I thought it was so smart, you know, because we are living in a society where we're trying to do everything perfect, and everything that seems to be even remotely not super productive or super good or whatever, we automatically like kill the idea. And I liked it so much that he said, and you said it too, just let people do their work, don't touch them, believe in them, and help them see the impact of their own work. I think it's super meaningful.
That's why Adam is really a cool leader.
Yeah, he's a true leader, most definitely. And talking about leaders and lessons, what is the biggest lesson that you've learned from one of your leaders, from your, I don't want to say bosses, but let's keep it as leaders. Personally, what did you learn?
I had a very difficult situation in my life. I came to another city. It was not my own, and I found a new job with new bosses. It was a government job, so you know, in government, it's always like difficult to work with everything, like very difficult system of growing up of benefits and so on. When you work in a private company, it's easy. You are just doing better money, you're just calling your boss and telling, hey, like, I'm doing more money, I'm doing this and this and this, like, I want more, like, I want to receive more salary and something like this, I want bonuses at least. It doesn't matter. It's easy solving. When you're working in government, you can't just dump, I don't know, for $1,000 easily. You need to grow from like 100 and so on, so on, so on. At that time, it was like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So what are the experience I had? It's just imagine the new city for me. I just relocated. I was relocated with one of my, that time I thought it was my friend. I had some money with me. Like money was enough to live, I don't know, 7 months or 8 months easily without a job. And I was still going to the job, or it was okay. And on the third day, yeah, I think on the third or even on the on 1 week, my friend just stole all my money.
Whoa.
Yeah, but just traveled to another city. It was like shock for me. And the problem is that in 2 or 3 weeks, I need to pay for rent for the flat for next month. And it was pretty expensive at the time. So I came to my boss that time. I think he was boss, but he was a real leader. I came to him and told, hey, sorry, but I need to be fired because I will go to some job which is like on daily payment because I need some more money and so on. I just explained to him the situation, what's going on. I still sorry, but like I really enjoyed this job and the like way of how I can grow here, because he just showed me really good examples and like my, how it's called, my steps, my frozen steps, what I need to do just to grow faster. Mm-hmm. But I told like sorry, but I need to fix like today's issue. And you know what? For 4 or 5 months until I grow myself in this company, he just asked me only one question. How much money do you need to live here? Just what is your minimum? I told him my minimum and he told me, okay, come tomorrow, I will give you this money. So wow. for five months, this man honestly like investing in me. It wasn't a big amount of money for him, but for me, it was really like that time it was big money. And he just invested in me from his own pocket for 5 months until I grow inside the structure to cover all the costs myself. And you know what the lesson behind this? It was, I think, like 10 years already passed. Even now, if this guy will call me and ask anything in his life, I don't know, anything, help in the business, doesn't matter what he will ask me, I will really help him with anything he wants. And also in when I worked, I didn't like, for me, it wasn't like a job. It was if he needs something, if he told me that our structure needs this and this, okay, I am doing this because I was maximum loyal to this. Not to the company, not to the structure, but to my leader. I was loyal. I trust him. And I never want to think that I'm not, I didn't cost that money that he put in me. Even not to, the question, not about the money, the question exactly about he decided to do it. He knows me like for 1 week, not more, but probably he's seen something, I don't know, something good. Yeah, but I returned this money like with a high percentage. I return it because like I return it in the business value and so on, but still I am very loyal to this man. And that's why what I'm learning from my leaders, that people are giving the best result. People is your result. People is your biggest asset that you have. If they are friendly with them, if you understand them, if you are, honestly, the good manager, The first and the most important job is to manage the problems of your staff. Mm. It doesn't matter in the personal problems, it's business problems, it's, I don't know, not important problems probably for you. But if you can manage to solve it, if you can at least help them, you don't need to go and, I don't know, fix their plumbs or something like this. No, but you can advise them something. So if they know that they can come for you to you to book for advice, for help, they can count on you. That's why you, after this, you can tell it to your leader. You're really caring about your team, about your people, and they will feel it. And this is the synergy of your job. That's the lesson I've learned from my leaders.
Wow. I have to say, this is one of the most beautiful stories I've heard in this podcast. First
Thank
of all,
you.
It's very impactful, and it's impactful because essentially it says, before you invest in the business, invest in the people who are doing the business. Because without the people, there is no business. And if you want the business to succeed, you need, first of all, to be invested in the people who are doing it day to day. And don't look at them as if they were simply, you know, workers who are just doing their job. They're actually human beings. We talked earlier about being human in this hectic business world. And I think it's just an amazing example you just brought up. I actually chilled a little bit. Also, the way you told the story was so vividly, I could really go with you through the experience. So it was really meaningful. I really enjoyed it, really. And I'm pretty sure our listeners also. I think it's a great lesson.
Yeah, I was lucky enough. To be honest, like with most part of my leaders, even the current leader that I have right now, I'm learning a lot of the things. So I can name myself as a very lucky guy because the most part of my leaders, they're leaders. They're teaching a lot of things. I can study from them and so on. So yeah, it's helping. But the story, like that time, it wasn't so funny story. Right now, it's very funny story. But that time is very, very stressful.
I can only imagine. You know, but that's life eventually.
The issue was that when I was traveling to another city, my mom told me, like, because I sell some part of my business and I declined some offer that I received that time, and my mom knew about this, and I told her, hey, I've sell this is the amount of my money, like this is the money I will leave to you and so on. And she told me, hey, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? Like, you have a business, you have a job, good job offers here, you have an offers to grow business as well. Why are you doing this? You're making a mistake. And I told, no, it's my decision. I want to do it. So don't touch me. So, okay. And, you know, after 1 week, you just imagine if I return home, I've already like sell everything. If I return home and I will tell like, mom, you were right.
Oh,
and it is like, so I to be honest, I didn't even check the idea of returning home. Wow. I didn't think about this at all, because for me, just to come home and tell like, yeah, I've made some big mistake because I sell everything and just come home back just under mom's wing. It wasn't a choice for me, because like, no, I will do, I don't know where and how I live, but I will solve it. So yeah, this was really cool experience in life. It's touched me a lot of things, and also especially I'm very thankful to that team that I have, because we have a very brilliant team and we created a big result. And I think this big result was created exactly because everybody trusted each other, because we have a very like big good connection between each other, and it's helping.
Wow, you know, when you talked about your mother and the situation there, I thought to myself that Steve Jobs said it best. He said that you can only connect the dots backwards. So it seems like you took a leap of faith on yourself, leaving everything behind, taking this risk, and then got your money stolen and, you know, dealing with your ego kind of a thing. Like, I cannot go back, da, da, da. And then meeting your boss and going through this lesson, your leader, and going through this lesson. It's just a marvelous story. Really, really great story. And, you know, our conversation is about to get wrapped up. But I want to ask you one last question. Let's imagine for a moment that you are 120 years old and you are sitting on your deathbed with all of your relatives, your friends, your future kids, hopefully, if you want to have some. And, you know, everybody that you really care about is around you. And let's say that everything that you've created in your life this podcast, any post that you've written, everything that you've done, everything just fades away forever. What would be the last three truths you would leave your relatives with for them to have a good life?
Always think. Always find some time to stop and think why you're doing these things, whatever you did. You need always to stop yourself and understand what you're doing and exactly why you're doing this. The second thing, as I told you, be a human. Don't forget to be a human. This is one life. Even if I'm 120, it's short time. Because I can imagine that in 120, I won't remember at least 100 years of this. only some moments. And I don't know, probably the third one will be do what you like. That's what I really understand in iGaming, because this is my niche. Try to find what will really give you the feel of happiness, or like the feel that you are like a fish in the water. That is your niche, that is your job, you are on the right place. I really trust in some way there is a special place for each of us. There is a special like job for each of us. Doesn't matter, it's just the job of being mom or father, or it's just the job of being the consultant. Doesn't matter, but everybody has its own place.
Yeah, it's like a purpose, I think. Everybody has a purpose in life and they can fill it up one way or another. I think the thing is that most people are not even attuned to themselves to search for this purpose. They are on autopilot, as we said. So, wow, I think it was really beautiful what you said. And I want to thank you for the time you invested being here today. I really enjoyed our conversation, first of all. And is there is anything you want to say before we wrap up?
No, I just want to tell you thank you. It's really very, it was very cool podcast, and it was a big honor for me to be here. And also, I'm honestly in some way tired of the usual business interview, so it was already a cool experience just to speak with you like about anything. Thank you, Daniel.
Thank you so much. And to our listeners, I'll talk to you again on our next episode. So thank you, everybody. And thank you, Vladimir. And talk again soon. Bye for now. And